Well, welcome everybody back to our evening service that we're taping in the morning time. So I don't know if I call it morning or evening or afternoon or in between, but it's okay. A number of you stayed around for the service. Thankful for that. Hope you enjoyed this morning service. Looking forward to God working in our hearts today, also tonight in the message. Let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just blessed and thankful, Lord, for all you do for us. Lord, an amazing thought that you love us, and Lord, that you can do all things for us, and God, that you know what's best for us. Lord, help us to praise you, help us to be thankful, help us to serve you with our hearts and with our life. And God, I pray for our service tonight. Thank you for the things we heard this morning. Lord, we pray that you were pleased with it, and Lord, that's what we're looking for tonight, is for you to be pleased with it, and Lord, that you work in the hearts and lives of people. Help us to be like Joshua is encouraging the people to follow after you, to look to you for direction, and to make sure that we're clean so you can do mighty things amongst us. Lord, thank you for the memorials that are found in the Bible. Thankful for that, what Memorial Day here in America represents and what it means. God, help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Jim's going to come lead us in our theme song, and then he also is going to come do our first congregational song. Remember, we're celebrating Memorial Day this weekend, and once again, just want to say how thankful we are for all those who served in our military and for those that paid the ultimate price for our freedoms that we have.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. We're going to sing Stand Up, Stand Up for Jesus. So if you'd like to do that before the message comes, certainly join me to stand up for Jesus. All three verses. Stand up, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. If you're singing from home, you can stand up too, but sing with me. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength. And the last, stand up for Jesus, stand in his
Just a couple quick announcements. We are going to have a business meeting, and that is going to be on June 7th. I didn't announce it this morning, but I wanted to make sure I announced it 2 weeks ahead of time. We are going to start having evening services next Sunday night and next Wednesday night. Not this upcoming Wednesday, but a week later. So remember, church next Sunday morning will be at 11 a.m. like normal. We will not be having Sunday school, at least for a few more weeks after that. And also Sunday night at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. It'd be nice to get back into at least a little bit of a normal, similar routine. And on that following one, which is June 7th, is when we will have our business meeting. But remember to be on the lookout for our Kids Club, FBC Kids Program, and also our Young Adult / Teen Bible Study. Everyone's welcome to watch and be a part of that if you'd like to. I know I get a lot of feedback, good feedback. I get more feedback from the adults than I do from the kids and teens. But I know that's probably because, you know, they just don't talk much. So, but no, we're thankful for the opportunities. Thank you for all the people that have been helping with that. If you'd like to get involved, especially with the kids program a little bit, and you're one of the teachers, or Sunday school teachers, or helpers, and like get involved and be a part of one, do something, teach a verse or an object lesson, or even a lesson, or work with the puppets, let us know. We'd be glad to get more people involved. But thank you again for being here this afternoon, and we pray you get a blessing from the service.
All right, our second song of the day is My Country Tis of Thee. Let's sing all four verses, please. All four verses.
My country tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. Tomorrow.
Amen, amen. If we have, I know there sometimes we have human heroes or people we look up to, but you know, Christ should, who we want to be, he's really all we need. So thankful for who Jesus Christ is. He's not only heaven's hero, he should be ours too. Okay, Matthew chapter number 26 is where we're going to start off tonight. And Matthew chapter number 26. Now, you might look at this and say, this is kind of a strange title, strange message, but I think it's be impactful and help you. And I know it helped me as I was thinking about it a little bit. And since we're using the word memorial, what would your memorial service look like? You say, Pastor, that sounds kind of morbid, but sometimes people plan out their memorial services ahead of time. I encourage people that are a little bit older that it's good to plan it out so you can say, well, this is the scripture I want read, and this is the person I want to sing, and this is the person I want to preach, this is where I want to have it at, things like that. So that way, after you pass away, it's a time of mourning. It makes it easier on the family. Plus, if for some reason maybe your family doesn't come to church that much, you want to have it at church, you at least already have those things set up and in place. It makes life so much easier. This is our favorite song. You know, how many times I sat with a family and said, okay, so what was their favorite song? And they said, well, this one's good. And sometimes, you know, they would pick ones based off their other people's feelings. But it's nice to know favorite verses, things like that. Different people you like to have sing, you know, people that have special meanings. You know, it can be something that people enjoy being a part of. So he said, well, that sounds kind of weird. What would your memorial service look like? And here's the thoughts about it. How would you be remembered? It's amazing. Sometimes people get up and they give a eulogy or they talk about a person, and they get up and they say all these wonderful things, and you're checking the program and saying, is this the right guy? Am I in the right place? Because I know this guy, and this guy, you know, they say, well, he was faithful to church, and he hadn't been in church for years, and they begin telling all these stories. And that's probably one of the places that a lot of people lie more than anywhere else is at a funeral, because they don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, and sometimes it's hard to find something nice to say about somebody. And I know that's not always the case, and sometimes it's not, but sometimes it's a challenge. I get the privilege of doing funerals. After this message right here, I might not get a chance anymore. I don't know. But the reality is that, you know, at a funeral home, you sit there and you listen to people talk about somebody, and you're like, that's not the guy I knew. That's not the girl I knew. That's not the man or lady that I remember. And I'm sure we've probably all been a part of that, and I'm not judging anybody. Lots of times when I talk to people and I talk about their funerals, I'll ask them many times, write out what you once said. So that way I can read it and say, well, this is how the daughter felt, or how this person felt. Because I struggle making up stories about somebody that I didn't know, or somebody that I just don't agree with what they want me to say. And just letting you know from the side of the pastor, you know, what would be said? I'm sure everybody in this room, everybody would have positive things. You wouldn't have to make up stories. Plenty of good things. I look across the room and I can find, you know, something nice to say about everybody in the room, but maybe one person. And you know, my in-laws are here, so I want to make sure you make them feel welcome. No, of course not. I have great in-laws, so I can say something nice about every person in this room. And it wouldn't be hard to talk about you. But what would be said? And I want you to, you know, if you were going to write out your own service, what you would want said. Don't worry about the music this second. Don't worry about who the speaker is going to be. Don't worry about, but how would you want to be remembered? And not always does people remember you that way, but if you could write out what you would like to have said about you, what is it that you would say? How do you want your memorial service to go? Once again, I've told my wife a couple of times that I already got mine planned out. There's going to be three preachers there. I'm going to be one of them. I'm going to come through and I'm going to be on the video screen. I'm going to say, you thought you were never going to have to listen to me preach again, but one more time. But that's all those different things. But not the aspects of the funeral, not the coffin, not the flowers, not even the location. But what do you want somebody truthfully to say about you? You think things come to your heart and mind, you know, I want to be a good father, a good mother, I want to be a good son, good daughter. I want to be somebody who people say that they love the Lord, someone who was sincere, someone who was real, someone who was faithful, someone who was, and there's a long list of different things. You go to Hebrews chapter number 11 and you hear the testimonies of people. And I like that book in that chapter, and the reason why is because it's not man's testimonies, it's God's testimonies. And when it talks about how Abel, you know, it call it, you know, how about his cry from the ground type thing, you know, Abel's testimony wasn't what Adam and Eve said about him, because, you know, anytime a child passes away, it's a tragedy, or I know he wasn't a child, but he went before his time. It's a tragedy, but man, God said he chose to do what was right. And that's what I want. I want not only a man's perspective to have a good testimony, I care about what God's going to say at the end. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. I don't want at the judgment seat of Christ my rewards to just burn up because they were worthless. We don't want to spend our whole life working and serving and being faithful to, at the end, not accomplish anything for God. So I know you're not going to have the answer right this second, but as you leave, I want you to think about, what exactly would they say about me at my memorial service? Or even better yet, what would you want said? And then the question is, are you living a life that would reflect that now? Because unless they're going to be willing to tell the story, then I had somebody one time tell me, he says, I'm not sure if my family member was saved, this or that, and from the testimony, I didn't know him that well, and I said, this is how you get to heaven. He said, I never heard him say that, but will you tell them that he's in heaven today? And I said, I said, you got the wrong guy. I said, well, I will tell them if he did this, this, and this, he's in heaven today, because I don't want to give false comfort. I don't want to give false hope. And we never know a person's heart, obviously, but at the same time, I want people to be able to understand what truth is, because if I say one person can live like the world and do whatever they want and reject God, he's in heaven, then somebody else could feel the same way. So when it comes to funeral services, they're unique, they're different, they're emotional. You just lost a loved one, and sometimes family members, sons and daughters don't get along, and they're there, and they're, I want this, and I want that. It can be a struggle. But we're looking past all that, and we're looking about how God remembers some people in the Bible. And we're asking ourselves this question, what do I want God to think about me? Or what is it that I want said at my own service? I want it to be true. And does my life reflect that today? Let's look here at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, we're talking about probably my favorite lady Bible character. We don't know a ton about her, but we do know that when we see her, she's worshiping the Lord. Matthew chapter 26, I believe this is talking about Mary of Bethany here. And in the story, Mary of Bethany was Martha's sister. And when we say Mary and Martha, two things come to our mind. Martha was the one that was cumbered about. And you imagine what they would say at her memorial service. She worked hard. She made sure everybody had everything they needed. Man, it was a big treat to go to Martha's house. Not a speck of dirt on the floor and all those other things. Then you got Mary there. And once again, I don't think Mary was lazy. I don't think Mary would be rude or inappropriate at all. She was someone who loved the Lord, so I think she would have lived a life that was reflecting that. But she was someone that was worshiping the Lord. She's someone that was sitting at Jesus' feet. Someone that put Jesus above everyone else. Some of the things I think that's what they would say about Mary. And when I think about those things, I'm thinking, man, I would love to have somebody say, well, you know what? He cared so much about Jesus, he ignored other people at times. That's kind of what the accusation Martha was making. Let's look what it says here. And most of you know this story. And a lot, we're going to bounce around a lot tonight just because of the fact that it's the idea of the Memorial Day, where we're remembering and honoring those who gave their lives. But also it's a time where, what do we do? What do we do with memorials? Remember. We remember the things we've learned, and then we react to them. So in our own lives, let's remember how we want to be remembered. Let's look at the things that people are learning from us, and then let's react from that if we want that to change. Let's go here, Matthew chapter 26. Let's look in verses 6 through 13. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. And this is the verse here. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Let's have a word of prayer. God, once again, we're looking for your help. Lord, help us to reflect a little bit about what may be said, what our reputations may be, what our testimonies may be, what people are learning from us, and what we're teaching people, Lord. Help them to both be the same thing. God, as we see Mary and her testimony is lifted up here in the scriptures, that this act was such a selfless, gracious, extravagant form of worship, the Lord says it's going to be remembered all around the world. Lord, I pray you help us to brighten the corner where we're at, to make a difference in our lives of the people that are around us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm sitting here and I'm trying to, you know, work my way through the message. And the first thing I know what some people are going to say is, I don't care what other people think. And I get what you're saying. I only care what God thinks. And, you know, God should definitely come first. But in the scriptures, we're told to be a light. We are told to influence others. We're told to show forth the praises of him who have called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are told to make a difference in this world. And I'm not saying we change our actions or reactions based off of individuals or people, but I'm also saying that our testimony should be important around with those that are amongst us, but also those that are out there that we're trying to win. And you're no better Christian than you are at home. Hopefully your family, if they were writing your Memorial Day service out for you, what is it that they would say? Now, once again, I know some things that I would like to have said there, not because I want to be like Mary, and when it says here that, you know, it shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. You know, she had so much love, and the extravagant worship that she did, having an understanding of listening to Christ. And the other passage of scripture says she had done what she could. I don't know about you, but I read it and I see it. I don't see anybody else in the scriptures foreseeing Christ's death like she does. She's the only one that I can see, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, just do it later, that, you know, she came to anoint his body. She had a little bit of, I don't think she understood it all, but she knew something was going on. She did what she could, and the Lord said that she was so moved by this that it's recorded here in the scripture, and this is how she's going to be remembered. I don't know about you, but to me, that's wow. She worshiped God. So three simple points. First one is, how will you be remembered? Second one is, what will people learn from your life? And the third one is, what are you teaching others? So the first thing I think about is, how will you be remembered? And I see this as a memorial. Then I think about the story of Joshua in Joshua chapter number 7. We're not going to go there, but we alluded to it this morning. Achan, most of you know the story of Achan. I'm looking around the room, pretty much most people were in Sunday school and they grew up. If I said Achan, they know he's the guy that stole the things from Jericho when he wasn't supposed to. If you're watching a kids club, we talked about him a few weeks ago, about how he didn't deal with his sin because he didn't deal with his sin, didn't confess it, didn't get it right. In the end, it caused him harm, caused the nation of Israel harm, caused his family harm, all those different things about dealing with sin. I think that was a couple weeks ago in the lesson. Achan, it says that they stoned him, and it's the Valley of Achor, and they had this big heap of stones on top of his grave. I don't know about you, but that's not how I want to be remembered. And I look at there in the scriptures, and I see certain guys and say, I don't know what they would have said about Achan. Well, most of his family was gone anyway. But what would they have said? And then I begin thinking about some other people. You know, what would have truly been said? So I think about the memorial that is there for Mary. Then I see the memorial that's there for Achan. And I'm thinking, boy, I want to make sure I'm right with the Lord, because I don't want to end up like an Achan. Now, Achan was, he was a warrior, a soldier. He walked around the walls every day, right? He did the foolish thing. I'm sure everybody did it. And he went in. It's just that he saw, he tempted, and he lusted, and then he damaged his testimony. And like I said, harmed himself, his family, and the whole nation. So the first question is, How will you be remembered? What will be said? Will they be able to speak the truth? So I thought about some different, and we use the word nicknames, there are different descriptions of people that come to mind. The first one that comes to my mind is David, a man after God's own heart. He's remembered that way. I think about Abraham, called the, anybody know what he was called? The father of Israel, but it's the friend of God was his, is the one I was looking for. Enoch, anybody got an idea? He walked with God, that's right. Mary of Bethany, the woman who worshiped God. Mary, the mother of Jesus. James and John. Sons of thunder, very good. Judas, the one who betrayed Christ. He's known a couple times in there. Barnabas, the encourager. Jacob, the deceiver. Moses was very meek, it says. Numbers 12:3. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Wow. Demas. Demas is famous for what? Forsaking Paul. That's right. So you see, how will you be remembered? And, you know, the perfect example is this. It's a very short verse in the Bible. Remember Lot's wife. You think about it, that's there. That's, it's recorded in the scriptures. Man, it's bad enough she turned into a pillar of salt, and then it's reminded, hey, remember Lot's wife. It's used as a sermon illustration. I had a young lady that grew up in her youth group, and she was a little bit boisterous, and she used to joke around, and she realized, she said, one day it kind of hit her, and she's like, I should behave around you. I says, you should. She's like, no, someday you're going to use me as a sermon illustration. I said, you're right. He says, wait till you get out of the church. She says, just don't use my name. I said, okay. But that's, you know, so it's the idea, how will you be remembered? And it's a simple thought that's there. And it's to some people, they're just going to be like, oh, come on, this is a waste of time. To others, they're going to take this to heart and say, how will my family remember me? How will my church family remember me? Now, don't get me wrong. I know some unsaved people or some people who are not spiritually living for God might have some different opinions. And yes, you can't change everybody's mind. There are some people in this world that you're not going to make happy. Some people that are not going to understand your walk with the Lord. Some people are not going to understand and appreciate what you're trying to do for God. Well, why would you want to go tell that person? Or why would you want to be a missionary? Why would you want to give that offering? Why would you want to serve there? Let somebody else do that. And let, you know, there are people who, I guess, are not in the same in tune with what God's will for your life, and they might not have the right. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about what you once said as a believer. What would you want your life to be characterized as? Man, he loved the Steelers. He loved the fish. He loved the, is that what you really want to be remembered for? I don't. Once again, I'm not picking on Jacob the deceiver, because Jacob the deceiver also was the one that wrestled with God. I'm not picking on David, a man after God's own heart, because that's a great title, but he's also the one that's remembered for the sin with Bathsheba. But, so what? How will you be remembered? If it was your memorial service, not more important what other people would say, how do you want to be remembered? The second thing is, and remember this goes back from memorials from this morning, you remember. You learn the things that you remember the things that you learn. So the second thing is you learn, and the third thing is you react to them. So what will people learn from you? Or what are people learning from you? If you want to take your Bibles, go to 2 Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21. Now, I think this is important to understand, is that I know you can have the attitude is, who cares what anybody else thinks about me? It's their own problem if they're learning this. And I know that this message probably isn't really for you. This is something that you just don't want to even put that into your mind, because it might mean that you should change the way you behave. Because there are some people that say, I'm not a role model. I'm nobody's hero. I'm not hurting anybody. But we can show you example after example in the Bibles that sin affects others. And we can show you examples in everyday life that you influence people, whether you like it or you don't. And God has given you that influence for a reason and a purpose, and it isn't for you to live for yourself. So what will people learn from you? And there's a couple of things. I like the phrase, you catch more than what you're taught. Or remember more of what you catch more than what you're taught. What does that mean? People learn more by watching you than what you say. If the person says, you need to do what's right, you need to be kind, and you're angry all the time, are they going to learn about your kindness and how to be kind, or are they going to learn how to be angry? They're going to say, that person's a hypocrite because he says one thing, he does something else. What are people learning from you? I think about some different Bible characters, about people who caught more than they taught. Think about Abraham and Isaac. And I use that example all the time because Isaac was willing to go up on Mount Moriah, willing to lay down on the altar. His father's faith was real. I don't know how many kids, and once again, we don't know Isaac's age, but we know Isaac was big enough and strong enough to carry the wood. In the least, Isaac could have jumped off the altar, ran away from his 100-year-old father, but he was willing to lay down on the altar. That gives a testimony in my mind that he saw his father's faith and was willing to follow that. I think about Noah's sons, and you can imagine what it is as a child growing up, and you know, it's one thing to have your father be crazy, but then you be a part of what his father's being crazy about. Noah's sons was willing to be one of the three of the eight people in the whole world that was willing to get on the boat. That was faith that they saw from their father. They believed in their father's God. Now, it has to be a personal relationship. I get it. Isaac's not getting to heaven because of Abraham's faith, and Noah's sons are not getting to heaven because of Noah's faith, but they learned something and they saw something to the point that they were willing to get on the ark. But then you think about it from the negative side. What about Lot? What did his daughters learn? You see, at the end of his life, man, oh, you think about even Lot goes and knocks on the door and tells the son-in-laws, yeah, it's time to go. You know, destruction's coming. Nope, they laughed at him. You can say certain things, but what are people learning from your life? You know, Isaac learned faith. Noah's sons, in some realm, learned faith. You think about Timothy, and, you know, he has a father that's an unbeliever and a mother that's a believer and a grandmother that's a believer. And you know what happens? He becomes a believer. He learns from them. What are we teaching others? David had a struggle with women, but guess what happens? David's son has a struggle with women. You consider, I'd be interested in knowing that, and you know, not just what I want to be remembered as, but what I would like people to learn from me. And once again, I'm not trying to go on some type of ego trip. I'm not trying to make you more valuable to, you know, puff your head up. But think about those things. What are my children learning from me? Do they see a walk with God? Do they see me read my Bible? Do they see me praying? Do they see me being faithful? Do they see the way I treat my husband or my wife or treat the other kids, my brothers and sisters? Do they see how I serve? Do they see how I talk? That I'm one way at church, another way somewhere else. What are people learning from me? And once again, I know we want to be a good example, and I know none of us are perfect. And I'm not trying to say, hey, you are going to be perfect, because I've learned that kids especially have a very high opinion of their parents, especially at a younger age. They think they can do anything in the world. But as they get older, they start looking at them, and they're like, they're gonna learn some things from you wish they didn't. Sometimes I see my sons doing things that I know I am not maybe the greatest at. And I'm like, man, they weren't supposed to learn that. They were supposed to learn this and this and this. But somehow they're picking up that too. And no, I don't want that. What would people learn from you today? Would they learn how to be faithful by watching your life? Would they learn that you love the Lord and how you love the Lord and how you serve the Lord? By your expressions and your kindnesses and the way you treat others, what are they learning? Are they learning to be make fun of other people? Look down upon different races or down upon certain groups of people or down upon, are they learning how to make an income? Are they learning how to be good with their money? Are they learning? What are they learning from you? Yes, they are their own individual, and yes, someday they're going to be accountable, but the question is, you know, you catch more than you're really taught many times. You see, you learn more of the habits than more than what just words will say. What are people learning from you? And I see some wonderful things that people teach. It's amazing how some dads can teach their sons to work on cars and carpentry, and I know girls can do that, but usually it's guys. And then I see the moms that teach them some wonderful things to the daughters, and vice versa sometimes. But what is it that they can learn from us? What my dad taught me how to, and I could tell you, my dad taught me how to be disciplined. My dad taught me how to make sure I was right at work and be there on time and work hard. And I think some of the reasons why I was a little bit successful in different areas was because my dad taught me different things like that. And I can tell you a list of things I learned from him, list of things I learned from my mom too. What is it that people will learn from your life? I like this verse here in 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse number 21. And it's actually, we'll go to, this is, there are people there, there are giants that are here. We'll start in verse number 20. And it says, and there was yet a battle in Gath. David is here, and David's fighting this battle, and David's not able to beat the giant this time. Last time with Goliath, he was. But here in verse number 20, and there was yet a battle in Gath where it was a man of great stature that had on every hand six fingers and on every foot six toes, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giant. It says in verse 21, and when he defied Israel, Jonathan the son of Shimei, the brother of David, slew him. These four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. So verse 21 I like is the fact that David was the one that killed the first giant that we know of. But you see here Shimei, the brother of David, his son is the one that killed this giant. You say, what are you getting at? I'm saying that he learned something from his uncle. Something he learned from his uncle they didn't learn from his father. Shimei wasn't the one that killed the giant. Shimei was the one that stood beside and wasn't willing to fight. So he had to step out of his father and say, I don't like that. I see someone standing up for God. If I'm Shimei at that moment in time, you know what I'm saying? I want to do better. I need to react to this. I'm remembering a battle that Goliath was there and I chose not to fight. And I need to learn something from that. I saw what my younger brother was willing to do and what God did in his life. Instead of being bitter and angry about it, instead I need to be right with God and I need to react to be willing to fight the battle next time. So when we look at this and we can say, oh, Pastor, we look at our lives, we do our memorial service, we think about what we once said about us, then we learn the things we need to change, and now we react to it. What do I need to do now to get to the point where it's not just somebody saying flowery things that might be half-truths, that they're learning godly things from me in my life? Once again, it's not all about spiritual things. I put the emphasis on spiritual things because I think what God does, being a good provider, being a good homemaker, there's tons of different things we teach, I agree, that we pass on. But don't leave off the spiritual side too. The third thing, and it kind of goes along with this, what will people learn from your life? And it's, what are you teaching? Why don't you take your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And I think you know where it's going with this if you know your scriptures at all. This is the passage of scripture that talks about loving the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, and we'll start off, excuse me, in verse number 4. Deuteronomy 6, verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them. There it is. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and for the frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. So what this scripture is saying here, there is something we're supposed to teach them. We're supposed to teach him how to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might, and that is impossible to do unless you're doing it yourself. Now, you say, well, that's the pastor's job. Well, it's the pastor's job to reinforce the things that are being taught at home, if they're being taught the right things. But this is written to the family. And in this family, they're saying in verse number 7, thou shalt teach. It doesn't say the pastor shall teach. It says, thou shalt teach him diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. There's a responsibility that's given to them. And so the question is what you're teaching the same thing they're learning? And don't get me wrong, I understand sometimes kids are hard-headed, sometimes adults are hard-headed, that when you're teaching something, you wish everybody would grab a hold of it. Sometimes when I preach a message, it's in my heart and my mind, I just wish everybody saw and got what I got out of it. But here, sometimes when a person is teaching, they're learning something different because their life doesn't add up there. Think about what it says in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter number 2, it begins talking about the aged men and the aged women. It says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity and patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Now, you see here in the passages of Scripture, the aged men are taught to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity and patience. Then they have in verses 3, 4, and 5, descriptions for ladies. If you can find a lady like this, you find a treasure, because you don't find them anywhere. This is contrary to what the world would teach you. You sit there and you read this, and I'm not picking on the ladies, because the men have similar things at the beginning. There's just some better explanations. But how many people, how many ladies are there that it says that they do these things that are found here? Discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, and that the word of God be not blasphemed. But you go to verse number 2:4, that they may teach the young women to be sober. That next phrase, to love their husbands. For some reason we think that, and I hear women do it, I hear men do it, mocking their husband or wife to other people when they're not around, it's not really teaching them to love. And that's what it's saying, to teach them good things. Teachers of good things. I'm wondering, I know sometimes the older people says, and I know this, I've heard it, I've said it myself, you're younger, you're supposed to listen to me. But if I'm not teaching good things, I hope you don't listen. And it's scary sometimes when the aged women and the aged men act worse than the youngers do. So make sure what you're teaching matches up what you want, what they're learning from you. Because you want to teach them good things. 2 Timothy 3, it talks about the perilous times that should come in. And then it goes, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despiser of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That next phrase, from such turn away. Turn away from that. You know, there's the encouragement that's up here. Hey, this is what you're supposed to be doing, aged men and women. We're supposed to be teaching good things. But then there's a group that's described here in verses 1 through 5 that unfortunately many times is described with the aged men and women instead. And then the Bible's saying here, turn away from that. So here's just the thought as we round it up. You know, how do you want to be remembered? What exactly is people learning from you? Does it match what you're saying and teaching? Now react to it. You listen to these words and this message. If you let it hit home, you see examples about Lot and his kids, and you're like, that's not me at all. And it probably isn't. But there's many of us that can learn and say, you know what? If they were going to be honest about me at my memorial service, it's not going to say exactly what I wish it could. I want to do better. I want to do more. So react to that. Let it sink in. Consider it for a little while and say, okay, How will I be remembered? What is it that people are learning from me? Are they learning how to be lazy or how to work hard? Are they learning how to be kind or are they learning how to be mean? Are they learning how to be forgiving or how to hold bitterness? What would they say that they learned from me? Once again, there are so many wonderful things we can teach one another, and we should always be growing and learning in all types of facets, in all types of areas. But when it comes to spiritual things, what are they learning from me? Are they learning the fruits of the Spirit or the fruits of the flesh? Now, one way you can tell that is what I teach matching up what my actions are. Now we should react to that. What do we do? What will we have? As the Holy Spirit of God speaks to our heart, if we want to change it, then there's some things that we need to change. And that's when it's good to write down some things. Let God work in your heart and mind. Let God work in your life, okay? I'd like to be more faithful. Shimei would probably, if watching his son kill the giant, would have been so proud, but at the same time would have thought, I wish he would have learned that from me. And there are things that I pray and hope my sons and the young people at our church go and do more things spiritually that I ever could or ever imagined doing, because God can do that in a person's life. But that's only when they're going to be clean, when they're following after God, like we heard this morning about the ark, and when not only that they're following after God, but they're looking for direction, and they got to be clean. That's when God can do the good things that are there. They set up memorials in their lives. And maybe today could be a memorial in your life when you say, you know what? This date, Memorial Day Sunday, before in 2020, God spoke to my heart about how I want to be remembered. Doesn't matter if people say it, but this is what I want my life to teach others. This is what I want to be said. Nothing wrong with the fun things. You go to a funeral service sometimes and you enjoy hearing some jokes. You enjoy hearing some humor. You enjoy hearing, you know, the fun side of things. But it means so much when you get to hear them say, I know my mom loved God. I know my dad served him for so many years. He was faithful. I learned that. I'm in church now. Things like that. So, how will you be remembered? What are people learning from you? Is what you teach, what they're learning, because your actions are different than what you say? And what are you going to do with the information? So it's a reaction there. Am I going to react to it? Am I going to get mad at the pastor and say, you just wasted 45 minutes of my time? Or am I going to say, you know what, there are some things I need to change in my life. I don't want to be remembered as a person who's always angry, who's always worrying, who's always late, who's always missing this and that, who doesn't care. I don't want to be remembered that way. Let the Holy Spirit of God do a work in your heart and say, I don't care how people feel, but instead I want to make sure that I'm doing what's right. This is what I want God to be able to say about me. You go, I know he's not, the Bible's finished. He's not going to write your name in the Bible, but this is what God would say about me. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not, you could have done this, you could have done that, or disappointed because your rewards are burnt up. Instead, I'm remembered because I love the Lord and I serve him with my whole heart. Would they say that about you? Could they say that about you? If not, let's ask God to help us to live a life that will be what we're remembered as. Let's have a word of prayer. God, I pray you help us tonight. And Lord, speak to our hearts. What a challenging thought. No, most of us are not going to be interested in thinking about what our memorial service might look like, especially to younger people. It might seem kind of morbid. But Lord, I think it'd be good if we took some reflection time and say, what it is that I want to be remembered as, and ask the question, is my life lining up with that? Am I someone who's going to be able to say that they've been faithful because they're full of faith? Am I someone that's going to be able to be said that they was kind, tenderhearted, that I was willing to forgive? Am I going to have a memorial like Mary of Bethany that speaks of the worship I have for God? Or is mine going to be the heap of stones like Achan, who made such a horrible choice? Are we going to have Isaac's and Timothy's and Noah's sons? Are we going to have Lot's children learning things from us? Lord, do a deep work in our heart. Help us to spend tomorrow, Memorial Day, honoring our veterans, remembering you, but also asking ourselves, I wonder how I would be remembered. With the life I'm living right now, what will be said of me? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here once again. For those that are here, you stuck it out and you made it all the way through. That's awesome. And remember, church next Sunday is not at 9:55 like it's been the last 2 weeks. It's starting at 11. And we're going to come back and have church again at 6 o'clock. So make sure you mark your calendars for that. And with this, you know, exception of Memorial Day, take some time tomorrow. And I know at 3 o'clock it's supposed to be, I believe that's the time there's supposed to be a few moments of silence honoring them. But let's never forget what they did for us. But let's also continue to remember what God's done for us too, and the memorials that are in the Bible. I am thankful for all those that served in the military. I'm thankful for those that paid the ultimate price out of a sense of duty, I believe, many times. But in our lives, what are we going to do with that information? Are we going to continue to have the freedoms to pass along? Are we standing up and doing what is right and as we should for our country? It all evolves around spiritual things. Am I doing right here spiritually? Because God can lead me in what I should do. Pastor, what do you think we should do? Should we do this? Should we do that? Get as close to the Lord and let him lead and direct you. Find spiritual leaders that you want to be like spiritually and help them, have them help them give you guidance and leadership. Once again, thank you for being here. Hope you enjoyed the service. Look forward to seeing you all very soon.